This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Ugh. You said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. List it in minutes with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope. But I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Wing and Tail Boys podcast, your Northeast hunting and fishing destination. I'm Chris.
And I'm Angelo.
And we're your hosts. Join us as we navigate the woods and waters of the Northeast, sharing our passion for the outdoors.
Whether it's land management, outdoor recreation, hunting, or fishing, we're going to cover it all. With 40 plus years of experience in the Northeast, we'll provide insights, tips, and stories to help you make the most of your adventures and help you experience the wild.
So, tune in, grab your gear, and let's hit the woods together. And always remember, success is just a commitment away. What's going on, Whitetail Nation? Thanks for joining us here for another episode of the Wing and Tail Boys. As we record this today, it is Tuesday, January 21st, and it is absolutely bitterly cold outside. On my car thermometer temperature thing this morning, it was reading like negative 2 degrees, and it was like blinking. It was so cold. And here where we and here where we moved to, apparently they don't believe in plows where we decided to move, because like our community is beautiful. The second you get out of the community, it's just absolutely just snow everywhere. Tires are slipping, even in four-wheel drive. So it's been a little bit of an interesting day. As we record this, we are now done with that big, you know, winter storm that came through the Northeast over the weekend. We only got about 6 or 7 inches, thankfully, because originally they were calling for like 20 to 24 inches. So luckily we got to miss that. And we still have power, which means we're here recording the 6th episode of the Arrow Flight series. And recording with me today, I'm joined by Dorge again. How you doing today, buddy?
How are you?
I'm doing great. This episode is going to be picking up where we left off on the last one. So on the last episode, we started getting into the most important component of the arrow build, which itself is the arrow shaft. And yes. last episode, we really spent a lot of time talking about the 246 diameter, inside diameter arrow. We talked about why it's considered the standard and how different things, you know, whenever you move away from that 246, you're going to gain one thing, but you're also going to lose something else. And it was considered the standard originally simply because it was so easy to make and it was so easy to mass produce. So building off of that today, we're going to start to enlarge in arrow diameter, and we're going to start with the 300 spines and work our way up.
No, actually, I want to correct. It's 300 size.
Not 300 size, spine. Not spine. That's correct. 300 diameter. My bad.
But actually, I want to go back to the 246. 246 is considered what? Actually, it's not 246, but 246 class. Okay, as we all discussed, 246 is not 246. Now we're going to call what you call it the crossbow class, which is not a crossbow class to start with. It just happened to what most crossbow use. It is based on the 2219 and 2216. But is that exception to this rule? But remember one thing. Most of the crossbow and previous bow, in a regular bow, before the carbon generation, the OD are usually 22 size. When I say 22 size, means 22 over 64th of an inch.
And that was the outside diameter?
Correct. Now, if you want millimeters, we're looking at 0.343 or 344. That's the OD of the shaft.
For your typical crossbow bolt, essentially?
Crossbow bolt, and also for your typical, like, a lot of people still like that size. Example, GoTip 22. GoTip 22 is a 2264, but its ID is 300.
Okay, I got you. Now, while we're on this topic, my brother and I, we want to go shoot tack this year, and we're trying to decide if we want to go to Pennsylvania or Vermont. We're trying to get some people together. And one of the problems that my brother's having is he doesn't have enough arrows. You know, he's down to like four or five, and you know, he doesn't want to break the bank just to go and shoot, you know, a tack type of event. So I had gone onto Goldtip's website and I was looking at, you know, their different things. And I told you earlier that there was a misunderstanding when we were talking about the Goldtip Hunter Pro, the Pro Hunter 300s, I thought we were talking about ID 300s. So when I went to their website, I couldn't find it. And I said, what the heck's going on here? So I went and I clicked on the hunting arrows and such. And I realized that there's not a single arrow that they consider a hunting arrow that is larger than 246.
All right. But the fact is that if you look at anything that's over 40 years ago, single arrow.
Everything
is actually larger than the 246.
Yeah. So my question for you is, do you think it would be, can you use, how do I want to phrase this? I don't think you could use any target arrow to hunt with, because hunting arrows, I feel like, need to be a little bit more durable than, say, like a target arrow would have to be.
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, most target arrow would be a great hunting arrow if you know how to shoot.
Okay.
First of all, the arrow, the durability of arrow, in most cases, people don't care. They want the arrow to do the job, fly the target, cover the target exactly where they need to be. As a matter of fact, if you go ahead and test a Carbon Express Blue Streak Select, which is the 246 with ultra modulation, or a Victory HV, those two shafts are 246 with ultra high modular. And you put it side by side to a GoTip 22, which is 300 ID. I will guarantee you, if you shot, say, 10 target, 12 arrow into the target in the same thing, you end up with more arrow in GoTip 22 than you have in the cover, in the blue screen or in the HP, because they are that brittle. They're not that durable at all.
I got you. All right. So
the durability have nothing to do with, I mean, it has something to do with the ID, but also depends on the construction and approach to the arrow.
Right, because the ID is just one piece of the
entire pictures. Yes,
I got you. So, I mean, I guess you're not wrong. If I'm going to lose an arrow, I want to make sure that it does its job first, right? If it yes. goes through the animal, full pass through, hits a rock, shatters, and blows up, I don't care as long as I'm bringing that deer home with me. You know what I
yes.
mean?
Yes. The problem you said a lot of people missed out on the GoTip 22 or the 300 size ID shaft.
I got you.
The 300 size ID shaft is what I personally consider the absolute best size arrow for today's bow.
I'm sorry, repeat that one. What was it?
The 300 size arrow is the best all-around shaft that you can go hunt with today's 2022 and onwards bow.
Is that because of the high let off?
18 will be more precise.
Is that because of the higher let off and the microflex?
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so now let me ask you this. Would you recommend, for someone who is going to use it for both target and hunting, would you recommend the 22-19 or the 22-16?
None of the above.
None of the above. Okay.
You get a GoTip 22 carbon arrow or get any good carbon arrow that's 300,000 ID.
All right, so just the straight up GoTip 22s then?
Yes, you don't need the pro. As long as you know how to spine the arrow.
Yeah.
But then, on the 300, on what cool and cool, the crossbow size. You know, the crossbow size is really a really weird, because see, remember we talk about it, the 2264 is about 0.24375, I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but it's close. I think 3-digit behind is good enough. 347 is good enough.
Yeah, sure.
But that only tells you what the OD is. When you go into, if you want to make say 2264 OD, and you decide to use carbon fiber, as 2264 is your limitation, wouldn't your wall be thicker?
Probably.
So, company like Carbon Express and Carbon Force, guess what? The ID of their shaft is 270 and 285,000.
Their ID?
Because the ID.
Ooh. That's like no man's land. Like, where do you even find stuff for that?
I do.
Yeah.
The reason for that, because that is the size you need to make 2264 on an OD, which is a 345. Technically a 345.
Okay. I got you. No,
the size is actually very important. A lot of people do not know when you deal in crossbow, the trigger box is so important that if you do not maintain that size under 340, 375, a lot of times the arrow won't even fit the trigger box.
Really?
Yes. So imagine if the Carbon Express is making, say, the 300 size in the fiberglass, the size would be something like a 360. Then how would they fit into a trigger box? It won't.
Yeah.
So what they can do, since they can't expand, they can contract.
I got you.
When people say, I want to do a 2264 with an ultra high modular carbon, what would happen to the ID this time?
Would it get thinner? Because it's higher modulus?
Bigger.
Bigger.
Yes, because you want to maintain that 345 on the OD.
Okay. That makes sense then. Okay.
Now you got all this. And then, of course, if you want to go cheap carbon fiberglass modulation and you want to maintain that 345 ID, in the early days, carbon fiber is expensive. Then you blend it with a little bit of fiberglass. Then you end up with 298 on the ID. See where this is going?
Yeah, I mean, like someone listening to this who's never built arrows before, right? It's like they hear this and it's like, where do I even start? And, that's coming from me who's built arrows before and been involved in that process, and we've had our conversations, and I have, you know, I feel like I have a decent amount of knowledge when it comes to this stuff now. And even me, it's like, man, where do I start?
You know? Exactly. So Let me just give you an idea. Around the 300, so-called 300 crossbow size, or the typical poor man's target size, the ID is from 270 to actually to 303.
For a crossbow?
Yes. The ID is 270 is where the old original gold tip crossfire, which is used to make for called a vapor crossfire, which become the gold tip kinetics, also called the kinetics laser 4. It's also called laser 2 momentum. It's the same damn shaft.
All the same shaft, just rebranded?
Yep, renamed.
All right.
And that's a 270,000.
I gotcha. And then they just started going up from there.
Right. So, and then Carbon Express make it at 280,000. Right. And in case of Eastern, the full metal jacket, because aluminum and carbon composite, the ID of that shaft is 285,000.
Oh, my goodness. Which is why we go back to what we said last time. If you're going to build arrows, make sure you get your components from the manufacturer who's making your shafts. Because
and
of
if some, and if, but if you do not like it or the component is not up to par, you really need to know your stuff,
right? And if you don't, we're always available for a phone call right. or an email or
now,
something.
The world, without saying much, the archery world have decided that the 300 size is what mostly everybody makes it. The only exception to the rule is some of the cheap Eastern that's 298. Carbon Express, that's 280. Eastern Full Metal Jacket, that's 285. Which is East Full Metal Jacket and Carbon Express is the same size in the OD.
But not
and
the
then, IP. Of course, you have to look at McKinney, which is 303.
So I think this is a good segue then into kind of taking a step back just for a hot second. And like I said, when we started this episode, we were talking about how we really touched on the 246 last week or in our last episode. And we really wanted to explain why it was considered all around such a standard arrow. So if it was so great for so long, what was the reason for looking for a bigger diameter arrow? Like why? Like we always say something new always comes up out of necessity. So what was the need for a bigger arrow?
Well, first of all, the target people at that time, because the bow is not very efficient, and the 246 is pretty reasonably thin, and the 200s, I mean, the larger the arrow, the more expensive it gets because the components get more difficult to make, not because of difficulty, because of volume. And like anything else, the moment you go a certain volume, the price keeps dropping.
Mm-hmm.
The 246 class, because it's such a hot seller, everybody start making whatever they need in volume. So the price is very, very reasonable. But then you go to 300 size. Now, as a matter of fact, right now, I consider 300 the only size that we really need to pay attention to, unless you've got customer who just love Carbon Express, love Eastern Full Metal Jacket, and so on. Is that exception to the rule? Oh, yeah, we've got 301, 302, 303 size too. But you can't help those. I mean, oh. You just literally cannot.
Yeah. Now, what benefit or deficit, I guess, or what? How does it when you go from say a 300 to a 303, or a 300 to a 297, to someone who hasn't focused on the science before, to them that just seems like an arbitrary number, right? What does that do to the arrow though? In flight,
literally nothing.
Nothing.
The only thing is that you have to buy from the factory only because nobody makes that size.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it'll essentially fly the same, a 297, a 300, a 303. They'll essentially all fly the same as each other. But right. the 300 would be the easier to find components for. Okay,
exactly.
I got you.
But then, if you look at the American standard drill bit size and so on, that's no 300 drill bit.
Something tells me that could cause some problems.
Yeah, they make 302, they make 297, they make 298. You can even get 299, but you had to special order 300.
What? And I could, and that's beyond my knowledge. I couldn't. I don't even know why. All you know what I know. I know.
Hey,
I know.
I just find. I mean, I was looking at my drill bit size, in the numeric size, in the number size. in the quarter, you know, like 60, like 38, 64, that kind of numbers. Mm-hmm. Nothing fits 300.
If you're anything like me, you love to customize your bow while always making sure everything is just spot on. That's why I trust Anthony and Chris over at Big D Custom Pro Shop. They're located on Route 15 in Lake Pacon, New Jersey, and they have everything you need to tune your bow. And I promise you, you're going to leave there with a smile on your face. So, if you live in northern New Jersey, give my boy Big D a shout for all your archery needs. When I head out to the woods, I have to know that I have the best performing equipment that I can afford. So that way, I'm the only variable that I have to worry about. That's why I trust FireKnock products for all my arrow and bow accessory needs. From arrow components to bow accessories like stabilizers and arrow rests, they have what you need. Dorge won't put anything on the market if it doesn't perform 50% better than what's already out there. So head on over to FireKnock.com today to see what they're all about.
That's unfortunate.
Yep. So that created a lot of minor issue, but it's sort of disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about it. If you say one day you use your 300 and then you got to insert out, the insert got all kind of junk glue in it, wouldn't it make sense to put a 300 drill bit
right through it and pull it right out?
And then you're done, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does not exist.
So let me ask you this. Building on the 300s, everyone I talk to, myself included, you and I have spoken on this briefly in the past already. Everyone I talk to when it comes to 300 diameter arrows and target shooters specifically,
mm-hmm.
they all say the reason people use a larger diameter arrow is so that way they have a higher chance of getting that arrow into the X ring because it's a bigger arrow and it covers more area. Is that why they use the arrows, or do target archers know that those arrows handle the bow better?
Those handle the bow better and it's more efficient. The larger the diameter, as long as tuned correctly, is always more efficient.
So then would it be fair to say, and we're going to build on this in a further episode, you know, on a deeper level than this. But then isn't it fair to say that the only reason we have gone to thinner arrows, 204s, 166s, are A, because they look sexier, and B, because we've been sold on the idea that thinner means better penetration.
Correct. That's absolutely the truth.
All right. So knowing everything you know, if you had to start from scratch and you needed to pick, let's forget about components or anything like that. Let's say you're starting a brand new arrow build.
Mm-hmm.
And you're building it for a compound bow, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Are you building off of a 300 diameter arrow?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's two conditions. The bow was made up to 2018.
All right.
The person are using this to kill whitetail. Or North American big game animal, including grizzly.
So not for any of the bigger game.
Yes, because you need a little. I mean, you can, but it's not. You don't have enough spine with it.
Gotcha.
The GoTip 22 is a 300 spine.
All right. And what would you, since we're on the topic, what spine would you recommend for someone going for a bigger game animal, say a moose or a grizzly bear?
First of all, you need a heavier weight. Can you GoTip 22? I can give you a GoTip 22 size arrow or using the GoTip 22 and make the spine all the way to 30.
Is that concept inside a concept inside a concept?
Exactly.
That's four crazy. Concepts.
I did That's that. Wild. That's called the, of course, I would prefer to use a 200 spine, 300 ID, 300 spine shaft
mm-hmm.
to use that. Because now I'm adding 100 to start with.
Right. No, and then that makes sense. You know, and like I said, we don't have to go any deeper into that because we're going to get deeper into that.
The moment when we talk about arrow concept. But see, the 300 size is such a beautiful size. Just give you an idea. I make 15 inserts, separate skews, just for the 300 alone.
And what's the difference? But without going into too much detail, I know I think either two or three of them are specifically for Aero Concept, and they have to be used with the Aero Concept insert. Outside of those two or three SKUs, what's the difference between the other 12 SKUs?
Nine SKUs with Aero Concept.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So then, go ahead.
The insert to an Aero shaft is such a big deal. It is something that it is most people never understand when you do some insert correctly. Because see, the 300 is one of the what you call the most versatile shaft known. As a matter of fact, if you shoot, say, you shoot a brand new Hoyt RX-8, or you decide to shoot one of the Speedball, say, an Expedition Air, Airlight, whatever. Your GoTip 300 or your 300 ID, 350 or 400, well, GoTip is 300, but I do make 350 and 400 spine, 300 ID shaft. You're going to gain so much on the behavior of the arrow and the fast recovery of the arrow that you have never seen.
Really? And that's we're talking compared to a 246 specifically?
Correct. On compared to using the same material. That means we're not moving away from different material. We're thinking using GoTip Pro Hunter, GoTip Hunter material. Now you make it into a 300 size and you shoot it.
So in theory, literally everything would be exactly the same. Weight, FOC, build, material, everything exactly the same, with the only difference being a 246 to 300. And the 300, you're not saying it'll perform a little bit better. You're saying it's a world of a difference.
It depends on what world you're talking about.
All right.
Say, of course, if you're a person who only shoots, say, 25 yards to 30, and maybe 22 to 30 is your yard range, you're not going to see any difference. But if you want the arrow, you're going to go to Total Archery Challenge. You're looking at that 65-yard or the 75-yard shot. I will guarantee the 300 ID one will outperform the 246 every time.
So the farther you're shooting, the farther you're shooting distance, the more you're going to see the benefit in the 300.
Correct.
I got you.
As you understand how the 300 overall perform, you can see that you can do a lot of help to customize the 300.
So
that's the reason I have 15 inserts just to go on the 300.
I got you.
Not excluding the variation for Aero Concept. I'm talking just the metal part.
Right, just the metal piece. So let's try to link this to some of those things that we started building on in the first couple episodes. You know, regardless of your arrow material, regardless of your diameter, your spine, all arrows go through the same five stages of arrow flight, matter what. However, every single person is going to be different when it comes to the five motions of arrow flight. And everyone's
of the draw length, the draw curve, the FOC, the broadhead, the veins, the knock.
Exactly. So everybody's setup is different, which means everyone's arrow is going to react slightly differently. So one person may have more ovalization than somebody else, but they may have a smaller magnitude of flex than the other person, or something along those lines.
But so compared to a 246 and a 300, the 300 will always have more efficient capabilities.
Now, is that, and I know the answer to this, but can you break down of those five motions of arrow flight? What does the 300 arrow do when you compare to a 246? How does the 300 affect and compensate for those five motions?
Well, first of all, let's go with initially. 300 size is a larger tube. By basic tube dynamics, using the same material, the larger the tube, the faster it recovers. The larger the tube, the more resistant you resist to torque. The larger the tube, the faster and more efficient the ovalization recovery is. The larger the tube, the less the harmonic on the OD. And the larger the tube, the more the oscillation expansion is. Because now the percentage of movement is larger.
Okay.
But that yourself, technically, until you hit, that motion doesn't apply.
Right. And when it does hit, that's where we see, you know, inserts kind of get pushed back into the shafts and such, because that shaft is expanding, and on impact, it opens up the door, so to speak, for that insert.
And contracting in that process.
Correct. So we're assuming that both the 246 and the 300 are made with the same material, same build process, same everything. And the two is larger.
The weight should be the same because you're using the same amount of material. The only difference is wall thickness. And because of the wall thickness, the 300 will always have a little bit heavier spine than the 246.
All right, but same GPI?
Same GPI, the 300 will always be heavier spined because of change in diameter.
I got you. Now, is that why, and maybe not, but is that why Gold Tip has like 340 spine? Like I've never seen a company, like it's always, for me at least, it's always been 250, 350.
No, you have not your Eastern chart. Eastern chart is over. 280, 240, 340, 290. Because see what they do is that they make the arrow in production of whatever tuning they end up with. When they come up with, they put out arrow. They say, oh, this is the 280, the 278. Okay, it's a 280.
When they're starting an arrow build, let's say a company wants to make a brand new arrow, do they set out and say, this is the spine we want it to be, so we're going to build it to be that spine?
For 90% of company who use a wrapping process, but Eastern is an extruding continuous build process.
Right.
So after they make the mold and they come out with it, it'll be the first time they come out with it, with the material they have. If it is a 340 spine, it is a 340 spine.
Yeah, which honestly, to me, sounds like the better build, in my opinion.
Yes and no. Because your spine chart is going to be a little bit questioned because everything will be slightly off.
Slightly off. What I'm getting at is, and at least this is the way it's playing out in my head, is Easton says, we want to build an arrow that is efficient. So we have to build it this way. And we're going to try to make it close to that spine, but if it comes out a little under or a little over, then so be it. But at least we built the arrow that we wanted to.
Right. That's the reason you didn't have the weird 280 spine or 340 spine or 349. So yeah. What's 349? It's 360.
Okay. Yeah, and that's nice too for like, say someone is shooting a 300 spine arrow. And they have their insert. Let's say they're a heavy.
Now remember, when you say spine, means that the deflection of not the 300 ID, the right. 300
spine,
300 resistant to the force.
Right. So let's say you have someone. Again, they have a 300 spine arrow, and they're set. They want a heavy insert. They want a heavy broadhead, and their arrow is just slightly under spine. I see the benefit in being able to bump to a 280, where it's just enough to give you that stiffness, but not a full 250 where it's too stiff and now you have to go a little bit heavier. You know what I mean?
You touch on the reason I build inserts. The 300 insert I built is vary from 18 grain all the way to 125 grains.
Wow. I've never seen the heavy
excluding,
ones.
Excluding aero contact. Carbon tubing. We're talking aluminum part. We're talking the metal part.
Right. Just the insert itself, not the 6-8 or whatever inch
carbon inner tubing. Tube. Right. Why? Why make so many variations? Why not just make one insert?
Well, I think it's because A, just like a car, people want to tune their car perfectly. You know, so, you know, one person might like these tires and the other person might like those tires, or this person might like these shocks and that person likes those shocks. But I think also it's nice to be able to say, okay, this is the shaft I want to shoot. If I go any lighter than this, I don't like the way the arrow behaves. If I go a spine stiffer than this, it's too heavy. I don't want it. Being able to jump between 20 grains on the insert, that makes a huge difference for someone building an arrow.
We are talking 110 grains with me, without adding carbon.
Yeah, well, I've seen those too. I think, Ethics Archery, I think, makes components also. I think they make some pretty heavy inserts as well.
Right. The weight of the insert is not that critical because you can always add carbon tubing or add weight to the insert. But having, because different material of the insert, the focus of the energy in a short distance can change the aeroflex significantly.
Really?
Just like you want to put an 18 grain of go tip 200, give it to 200. Go tip 22. Use the aluminum insert. You're looking at what? 20, 25 grain?
Something
or, like that. Or you put in, say, a long brass. That's 82.
Mm-hmm.
A medium brass is 100, 125, 75, 55, 50, 48.
Mm-hmm.
They're all metal.
And that's also affecting the FOC too, isn't it?
Yes, and also how the aero behaves. And not to mention, you can also change the gluing surface.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, some company like, I remember one conversation with Tim Gillingham. He's making a 3-inch insert with really thin wall. What does that really do to that aero?
I feel like it makes it weaker, doesn't it? Towards the back of that insert?
No, you actually make the aero, effective aero shorter.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Say, and imagine you've got a 30-inch aero. You put in a 2-inch broadhead. Now the aero is 2-inch broadhead, 1-inch knock. Your aero effective is 33-inch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then what is the aero shaft flex effectiveness? You minus half inch from the back because of the knock.
Mm-hmm.
Now you had to think about it. I just say you put a 3-inch insert. So you cut the entire aero 3 more inch away. The broadhead knock is effectively 6-inch long.
I got
the 5-inch long.
So you build the length, you incorporate that longer insert into the overall length of the aero, which makes for a stiffer aero.
But you actually make the aero a lot worse.
In what way?
Because now where is your node? The point the aero flexes, it's about 1 inch behind the insert now.
Well, it's definitely behind the aero rest, which is going to cause some problems.
Yes, and in most cases, you want the node to be on your aero rest.
Right. Which,
so
if you want to talk about that now, go ahead. But I think we're going to touch on that in the future, too.
Well, that's exactly. But we want to see that the insert implication is so big.
Yeah. I didn't know they made inserts that were 3 inches long outside of the aero.
Look at the ethics stuff. Same thing.
I've never seen. I actually still have them. I never ended up using them. Ethics makes an insert that rotates. The entire insert rotates. And the theory of that is if it hits bone, it'll just rotate instead of, you know, deflecting or something. And those are solid half inch out of the, you know, they stick about a half inch out of the
aero. Let me give you an idea. So you hit your thought. Have you ever tried to hold a knife with a loose handle?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
No.
What do you call a rotational insert?
I guess it's the same thing, a knife with a loose handle. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I never ended up using them. I had gotten them at the time where I was...
The concept is not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
To make it correctly, the tolerance of the insert, first of all, you need a thrust bearing. That's the only way you'll work.
All right. What, a flex bearing, you said?
A thrust, THRUST.
Gotcha, thrust bearing, gotcha.
And you'll be super tight, at least under 1,000 tightness. So you need at least apex 3, if not apex 5.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that when the thing insert hits, the blade move perfectly, and the shaft do not go cantered. If it does,
I gotcha.
The force is not going straight forward. It's like, again, like my old saying, you got on a train with the train of the tip of the train hitting a wall and the rest of the train on the curve.
Yeah.
It's not going to go forward. It's going to fall off the track.
Now, I will say this, and I don't know if we're planning on getting into talking about broadheads at some point or another.
Of course we do.
But not now. Okay, so we'll leave that one for the future then. Getting back to these 300 spine aeros then. We've talked about where they come from. We've talked about why they're beneficial. But we also discussed that anytime you deviate from a 246, you're going to gain something, but you're also going to lose something. So what do you, when you go from a 300, from a 246 to a 300, what are you losing?
Yeah, you now have to add more components. The reason you add more components, because you now are limiting yourself to all the 9mm broadheads. Unless you put an 8 to 9mm adapter. Otherwise, all the 8mm broadheads is going to have a lip of 0.5 all the way around the insert.
Right.
That's the first downside. We make those. So it's about $10 for six.
Yeah. And I mean, that's nice. I'll be honest with you. Personally speaking, outside of what's in the Aero concept, insert, whatever, you know, the end cap, I'm not a big fan of adding things onto my arrows, you know, like bushings and weights, and that's just a personal thing. The more stuff, I feel like the more stuff that is exposed to outside variables, the more can go wrong.
All right. And the only thing that in this whole equation is valid, except the broadhead adapters. And you absolutely need them. Because I learned.
Well, because of the rain, you're saying.
You may seemingly think that, oh, there's only 0.5 millimeters from the broadhead to the edge. Well, you think about it, when you shoot an insert with just a 0.5 millimeter on the edge into a back target, you may not be able to pull it out.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that. Anyone who's had a lip that comes outside of their shaft, because we're talking about the shaft being bigger than the broadhead. Well, what about people who get field points that are a little bit wider than the shaft of their arrow? It's the same concept. You can't pull it out. Or if your field point doesn't screw all the way into your broadhead and you have that little gap between the base of the, you know, so it works the same way, and it's going to absolutely destroy your penetration at that. If you have the lip that's catching on the way in rather than the way out, I mean, you're wasting, I couldn't put a number on it, but I would imagine it's a pretty decent percentage of your energy.
Well, it depends on what you hit. If you happen to hit, say, the edge of the lip hit the rib cage, you can lose over 50% of energy instantaneously.
That's crazy.
I know. You sound crazy. But it's the same thing. I mean, just like you got a hook onto, say, anything. And you notice that tiny, tiny bit of hook have so much force. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Or simply say, you're rolling a wheel over a rock that's about this big. Yeah. You got to wheel this big.
Exactly. And it goes back to what we were talking about a few episodes ago, where we said Formula One racers, they're going over 200 miles an hour. And didn't you say something like 82% of their engine efficiency goes towards aerodynamics?
All right. Or actually, something like that. 75 miles per hour, 72% of energy go towards air resistance.
Air resistance. Yeah. So it works the same way. If you have a lip on your arrow, where do you think that energy is going? It's not going to the broadhead. It's going to fighting through that lip.
That's what is critical. All but right. The 300 size in so many ways, if you shoot a brand new bow, anything made up to 2018-19, or more precise, 80% that off and more, you'd be amazed how good a 300 size shaft would do for you.
All right. And is there anything else outside of needing more components, for example? Is there anything else that you lose?
No, in most cases, if you say you get a crossbow broadhead, the reason I say that, because a lot of people love the broadhead in the regular bow broadhead, mm-hmm. and they don't fit well with the 300. That's your only downside. You need to add that lip.
So are they equally as durable to a 246?
246 has a slight advantage.
Slight advantage. And what about, and we said it should, going from a 246 to a 300 in theory should be the same weight?
Yes.
Okay. So there really isn't other than...
300 were a tiny bit lighter because they can achieve 300 spine with less material compared to a 246 because the tube is bigger based on tube dynamics.
So is it fair to say then, if I don't care about the way my arrow looks, I should be shooting a 300 spine arrow, not a 300 diameter arrow.
If you want to hunt with it, technically it's the most versatile, except a lot of people don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of my dedicated customers, I mean, we're talking older gentlemen who really know how to shoot. All of them shoot the 300 size.
I got you. I got to be honest, I might jump on the 300 diameter train. I'll be completely honest with you.
Well, actually, most people would automatically. You know why? Because if you go to Total Archery Challenge, you want to shoot those longer range air. You'll find that your 246 may work, but the 300 is going to work a whole lot better.
All right. And you know what? I might just put that to the test then, because I'm trying to do everything I can to go to TAC. God bless my wife. She's incredible. The baby is due on Easter weekend, which is like 2 weeks before the last 2 weeks in April, give or take. TAC is the last week in May. And I went to my wife. I said, listen, I know you're going to call me crazy. And I know the answer is probably no. And it's okay if it is. I said, but you know, there's this archery event. She goes, oh God, where are you going? How long are you going to be gone? And I was like, we just want to go on Friday, maybe come home Saturday or Sunday. And she goes, oh, you're only going to be gone for a couple of days? Go ahead. Have at it. Have a great time. You know, so God bless her soul.
Well, let me see you in Pennsylvania then.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to Pennsylvania or Vermont. Believe it or not, it's 45 minutes farther for me to go to the one in Pennsylvania than for me to go to Vermont. So we'll see. I got two buddies that live in New Hampshire that want to go. The one in Vermont, my brother can't make it to, so we might just have to go to the one in Pennsylvania just because. But you do you go to both of them, or do you only go to PA?
I'm looking at the chart. So most probably I'll go to Pennsylvania. I will usually go to the one in Michigan. Those are the two I usually go.
I gotcha. And do you ever shoot them, or do you only go to sit at a booth?
I go there to actually most of them I'm going to train my dealers and show them what things are.
So maybe would we be able to tentatively plan on getting together and maybe learning how to build some of these arrows come TAC time?
Sure,
is that something
absolutely.
We could do?
I usually have dealer classes like this Pennsylvania show. I have I have two dealers coming to take the class.
Okay, because you and
I mean, you remember I got a lot of Amish dealers. They don't have internet. They don't have iPads. They don't take the class online.
That's right. So, they like things simple. And honestly, man, sometimes I wish we didn't have all this technology. Sometimes I wish the internet is great when you use it for the right thing and you don't overindulge. You know what I mean?
Just like every tool.
Just like
every tool. The right thing is the best.
Exactly. You know, and sometimes I wish, you know, or if there was a way to moderate it, you know, it just sometimes when I leave my phone home, they're the most peaceful days I have. It just because I don't have to worry about it. Oh, left my phone home. I'll figure it out later. And I just go about my day. You know what I mean?
It's the same time, you know, just like, I mean, every country has a policy. Just like I got a few of my vendors called me from China and saying that they got so many TikTok people coming to Chinese on there. This red note, it was funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no TikTok anymore here. What are we ever going to do? Yeah. No, I never.
You need to understand TikTok is not just TikTok. People don't understand. A lot of people, their entire livelihood, they're able to make money. Just like people on YouTube. Yeah. I know a few guys, their whole life depends on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, making more money than I'll ever see. You know, so good for them.
Yeah, some people do. They're your YouTube, what do you call it? Your
content
YouTube stars.
Creators. Yeah, yes. YouTube. Exactly.
Creator and influencers.
Exactly. You know, so this video seems to be wrapping up to be one of our quicker ones. We're at 45 minutes.
I still want to go going through the list.
Okay. Do you want to keep going to the bigger ones?
No. I want to go with why 300 is such a good size and why do I make so many inserts?
Go ahead.
Because because it is which I consider such a universal overall shaft, a lot of people don't understand the 300 law of benefits. As I said, I do make 300. We at Firenut make 300. See, right now, Gold Team make 300 in 300 spine.
Okay.
And the crossbow, they make it in 250 and 300. And Black Eagle make it only in 200.
Only in 200.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because they're making them specifically for crossbows?
Correct.
I got you.
And I know East Victory used to have that too. And then we at Firenut make it on both classes, the Spot Wave and the Arrow Wave, in the 400, 350, 300, and the 200.
So you make them for both compound and crossbow?
No, I make them for both, yes, but at the same time, I do make 200 spine in 32 inch.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And those are for customers who want to shoot somewhere in the 1200 grain arrow at sure. a Cape Buffalo with a 120-pound bow.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm the guy.
I mean, that's awesome. So do you, side note, side question here, do you get a lot of calls for like very specific custom arrows? Like, hey, Dorge, I'm going to go hunt a giraffe next year. I need a 1600 grain arrow. You know what I mean? Like, do you get, and okay, say less. I'll build it. Does that happen?
That's pretty much what I do.
That's amazing.
Oh, a guy say, I got a 140-pound bow, 31-inch draw. What is my arrow spine?
Okay.
You hear what I just said?
Yeah, what's my arrow spine?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's going to be around 20.
I bet. See, now that's what always gets me, because I hope you can tell through our conversations, I like to figure stuff out for myself. Mm-hmm. Or have the knowledge to say, you know what, that doesn't sound right. Let me get a second opinion, or let me do my own research. I don't genuinely understand how to select the proper spine. Other than shooting my bow and feel, you know, seeing what the arrow does in paper or whatnot, how do I know what my spine should be? Is there a calculation to do, or?
No, actually, the calculation doesn't work. Let me give you an example. 70-pound, 30-inch draw. What is your spine?
Is it 30-pound, 30-inch?
Say 70-pound, 30-inch.
Okay.
You say 300?
I would probably say 200, 250.
Now, the real question is that, what cam is it?
Right.
Because if you look at the back in the 1980s, just because the cam design difference, the spine is different.
Mm-hmm. Because the arrow reacts differently upon the release of the string.
Right. And now we also see back then the speed cam, the round cams, round wheels, you know? If that itself is the difference, what do you think the let-off would do to it?
I feel like it would do a decent amount, wouldn't it? Because that's
you do a significant amount of change.
Right.
And then what do you think is going to happen with the broadhead and insert to do to it?
Mm. I mean, it's adding resistance on the other end. It's going to do a lot.
Exactly. And now when you people look at a chat, I mean, I'll give you one of the best stories I have. A guy say, oh, I moved to Beeman because it's so much better than my gold tip. They're both 300 spine. Then you put them on spine tester. The Beeman is more like a 280. And the gold tip is more like a 300. The Carbon Express is more like a 290.
Yeah.
So the Beeman reacts better because you have a heavier spine arrow on a more aggressive cam bow.
Yeah.
That's why.
And you can't really compare them then because they're not the same spine class anyway. My goodness. Honestly, if people were to be taught this, not even to the extent that we're talking about it, but if people, when they walk into an archery shop, if someone were to sit down and give them a 10-minute crash course on the stuff that we've talked about in the last 6 episodes, okay, I feel like so many headaches would be alleviated for some archers. I feel like there are some archers who have been shooting for 20 years who have had the same issues from bow to bow, from arrow to arrow, and they just simply can't figure it out. Because I know I did. And if I had known half of this stuff back in the day, A, I would have known how to approach it from a different perspective. And B, I wouldn't have had such a headache. Because
people keep on trying to buy new arrows. Oh, yeah. This arrow is better. But what they are buying is not new arrows. They bought a different spine.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's simply, I remember days when satellite titans. They say, oh, this broadhead is no good. I moved to something like from a satellite titan, I moved it to a blitz. The arrow shoots so much better. Well, the satellite titan is 3.25 inch long. The blitz is 1.25.
Mm.
When I put the broadhead on it, I changed the node of my arrow.
Oh, of course. Of course. And the one thing that I've learned through listening to you, and actually I think it was Jeremy Martin. It was you, Jeremy Martin, and Cameron Durr. And you guys, you're really the ones who I had heard about the node of an arrow before, but I never understood the importance of the node of the arrow.
And in the old days, it's really not that critical. Because you're not compressing the aero to the point that the magnitude of flex and the launch cycles and the power curve, none of them are really that critical. I mean, it's just like, if you only drive 55 miles per hour, what does the shape of your car matters? It really don't matter that much.
Right.
But then if you drive a Ford F-350 with a big flat in the front, and it's winter time, so you cover it, and you're going down the highway 85 miles per hour, I will guarantee your gas mileage sucked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, so, I like even go one step further and use the box truck. A box truck compared to a Corvette, because you could literally see the difference. One cuts through the air and the other one just pushes it out of the way, you know? So,
well, that's always happened. But then, now, when you start shooting targets, real route out the ASA IBO, the 315 will be better because it's larger in size. As you increase the diameter, you can make the aero thinner. The spine will go up. The resistance of aero is stronger. It's more efficient energy transfer. That's what happened when you go so that's the reason like the 315, which is 2364. Then you go to and go to something like the X cutters. You go to other aero forms. They're all bigger, like the 2764, the largest legal. But then you have another set of problems. When you build, say, the same material all the way to 2764 size, your spine number goes straight up. Now you're looking at 170 spine just on the same material.
Wow.
The air will get a lot more efficient, too, in penetrating and in flight. But then, does it make it still durable? It can be. But now, you have a big problem. You say, why can't I hunt with a 2764? Answer, say, you could. You just need to make the depth test for the broadhead.
Yeah. And in that case, it's a bigger adapter, and then the shelf would be bigger if you didn't have
the adapter. You want to make sure that shelf from the 8mm all the way to 2764 need to be wider.
Right. No, just a random concept. If that insert adapter is working like a cone, right, would that in theory help a bit with penetration? Versus a flat?
Of course, it always does.
Okay.
I mean, that's the reason, like my 7 to 8 millimeter broadhead adapters, that's exciting. It's 45 degree. If you need more and more, you need to maintain minimum 45. So that's a 17 degree better. Absolutely. But now you need a much taller. Now you're screwing around with the node again.
With the length, with the overall working length of the arrow and all
yes.
that stuff. Yeah. See, now for me personally, I'm a short draw guy, depending on the bow. You know, I've been as low as 26 and a half. I've been as high as 28 inch. And as of late, I was always shooting a 26 and a half inch draw length. And I found recently that I'm more naturally probably at a 27 and a half for target. And I probably, even though I still shoot 27 and a half for hunting, I probably should be shooting a 27 inch for hunting. Just to compensate for the clothing and all that stuff.
No. This is one time that I have a long discussion with a guy from, 99% of the time, just like when I first start hunting, I was taught by, it was before Terry, the gentleman who was a good friend of Brett Bear out of Archery Custom in Forest Park.
Okay.
He gave me a receipt called a Fletcher release.
Yeah.
My finger is here, okay? This is where I touch it. I'm about, in other words, the release jaw is 3.5 inch from my palm.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. My release jaw is 3.5 inch from my palm.
Mm-hmm.
Then I learned it from Kristen out of Scott, I think before Scott got sold. My release is it's less than 0.5 inch from my palm. Same me, same hand, different release, difference, 3 inch draw length.
Mm-hmm.
What did that tell you?
That the draw length is objective to what you're using and the shooter and everything?
If you think your draw length is too long, adjust your release correctly.
I got you.
I should
have said, my whole life I shot an index release, and then I went to a thumb release. So when I went to a thumb release, it basically has no neck, right? So I guess that effectively increased my draw length a little bit, right? So I fall in there. And at this point, I think it's brand, right? I think like Matthews, if I'm not mistaken, runs a little longer than their draw length says. So like if you're pulling, if you're drawing.
No, the one who does the longest always is a point. Point usage will be longer.
Okay. So
Matthews are pretty on the par. The reason right. I say is longer. Remember, that's also another thing you can do. Depends how you tie a string loop. Some people tie a 3/4 inch. Some people tie 1 inch. I tie something like my string loop is more or less 3/8 inch.
Okay, so it's just under a half an inch.
Right. So when I put my hook onto my release to the knot, that is no mm-hmm. room left.
Right.
Which increases my draw length.
Correct. And for me, I have to have it just a little bit longer because I'm using the thumb release, and I have to compensate for that rotation, which. It's not all that much, you know, but when you're talking about over distance, you know, shooting at 80, 90, 100 yards, that little bit of torque on the string is going to make a massive difference.
Actually, I talked to Jim Burns when I patented was ready to patent a release with him. That's two other releases. I will tell you, a lot of people do not understand the best hunting release are nylon and it's called a webbing connection systems.
It's called what now?
Webbing connection systems.
What's that?
That means there's no physical linkage, metal linkage between your wrist strap and your release.
I gotcha. Yeah, mine, again, I have the thumb release. It just sits in my hand. All it is a handle with a button on it.
I consider one of the worst because you can put a humongous amount of torque on your entire string loop and your release. See, with mm-hmm. that, with a nylon connection webbing release, whatever the friction is, you can use that like this.
Oh, I know. It's the ones that have like they have the material instead of having metal or something. So I know exactly what you're talking about. I've used them before. What I didn't like about them. So I went from, I think I had a True Fire release and it had the metal throat on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was able to lock in the back position. And I loved that because when I was just sitting there waiting for a deer to come, I would tuck it inside of my sleeve. I would never have to worry about it banging off of something, getting cold or whatever. And when I needed it, it was right there for me. You know, with the nylon ones, I felt like it was kind of floppy. It kind of just did whatever it wanted.
I just put it inside my palm.
Right. Or inside, you know, your glove if you're wearing a glove or something, you know. So
well, let me go back to the size since we are getting close to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
The size of the arrow. The biggest issue is component again. Remember this episode 5 and 6 or again 4, 5, and 6 is all about components.
All right.
The second you go that large, we need to understand a few key issues. The AMO standard stated that the broadhead and field point need to be X32 thread. As you go, say, 2764, you want to put a broadhead on it, the chunk of metal is ginormous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you want to put a knock on it, it's got to be ginormous on plastic.
Yep.
Unless you use that's the reason if you look at my website, anything over 23 size, all the components are, I pretty much own all the patterns to it.
I gotcha.
So you can find ways around it, like my square peg in the round hole process. Mm-hmm. But theoretically, my personal opinion is that if you are serious into IBO ASA CAT, your 2364 is the way to go. If you want one arrow to shoot everywhere, your 2264 is the best way to go.
Why is that?
Because everything worked without going too big and too small.
Okay. And is it easier? Is it also fair to say that simply because of the material, the thickness, the way that it's built, is it fair to say that for a beginning arrow builder, that would probably be the easier arrow, the 300 be an easier arrow to start with?
If you shoot target and fire hunting, both. If you hunt only, go to 246.
246 if you hunt only. And what if what if you target only?
I would say go with a 23 because you don't concern about broadheads.
I got you.
Not like the Gold Tip 9.3, the Victory N3 23. Your basic isn't not the Fat Boys, your Methodi PS23 from Black Eagle. Those are all fantastic arrows. And I especially like I like my Aero E300. I think that's one of the best Aero, except for the weight. I mean, you can't beat Black Eagle PS23. A little bit more durable, I think the GoTip 9.3 is the way to go.
Okay.
But then for 22 size, right off the box, nobody beats the GoTip 22 standard. It's cheap, it's good. As long as you know how to build an Aero, that single Aero will do everything you can throw at it. And then if you learn how to shoot, even at 50-pound, 26-inch draw, a 300-spine Aero is not going to hurt you because the Aero is so light. You just get a whole bunch of durability.
I gotcha. So you guys heard it here first, and it is completely outside of the standard thought process. If you want an Aero that could do it all, you're hunting and target shooting 3D, you know, you shoot your leagues on the weekend, or, you know, in the off season, get yourself a 300 diameter Aero, you know, hit up Dorge for the compensator there for the broadhead or the field point and the adapter, and you'll be ready to go.
See, the beauty is that, which is the 300, is also called a 9mm, which is 5/16. It's very close. So the 8mm is 3,000 bigger than a 5/16. So as far as broadhead and field point is concerned, that's no difference.
Okay.
3,000 of that is really no difference. And the best part is that we have finally not make the 9mm from 35 grain all the way to 250.
250 for the insert?
For the broadhead, for the field points.
Oh, field points. Okay, I got you.
35 grain.
So for those people who want to go heavy FOC, we got it for you.
I got it. But then, just remember, the insert also can vary without the carbon pipe. Can vary from 18 all the way to 125.
Okay.
And so, then if you add a carbon tubing to it, you can add as little as a 3-inch tubing, the carbon, you're adding 18 grains all the way to adding 600.
That's insane. I couldn't imagine. And I say that only because, like I've said in the past, I shot an arrow that was like 570 grains. And the drop on it was just absolutely incredible. It was just,
exactly. Now we
don't believe it. You don't believe it until you see it. You know, like you could sit here and say a foot of drop isn't the worst thing in the world at 20 yards. When you get out there and you start taking shots past 45, 50 yards, you can literally watch your arrow fly the entire path, and you can watch how far it drops. And I'm telling you, man, if you are off by the slightest when you release that arrow, there's no telling what could happen because of that.
I remember Jeremy out of Matthew was talking was having an interview with Commandeer. Your arrow should be ideally 375 to 420. That's your sweet spot on a 70-pound 30-inch draw.
Mm-hmm.
If you shoot a 70-pound like yours, you shoot 27. I would say your arrow ideal weight should be just under 400.
Okay. Mine, I think last year, were 412 when it was all said and done.
It's close enough. But, I mean, it's close.
Yeah, and that's because I shot Aero Concept. I had the inner tube. I had the inserts on the front. I had the end cap. I shoot a lighted knock, right? So everything I wanted and things that were, for me, were non-negotiable. I'm not shooting at an animal without a lighted knock.
Remember, when I say 400, that's without the lighted knock. With the lighted knock, you automatically add 20 to it.
Yeah, okay.
So you're pretty much right in that spot.
So then I'm right there.
Yep, but that is a good spot to be, because mm-hmm. you're talking a superbly forgiving arrow. I mean, if you shoot something like a Hoyt, it's going to be a little bit rough side. You shoot something like Matthew, it'll be good. You something shoot a Darton, fantastic. You'll be mm-hmm. shooting Obsession, that would be great. You shoot an Expedition, I don't think that's a problem. Okay. Those both are pretty much your Kevin Slaughter design, that whole class.
Yeah, I got you. Within that same, you know, they're somewhat aggressive, but not the most aggressive bows out there on the market. You know, they're just good. They're in that sweet spot, essentially, within what's available to us.
I remember back in the 2012, the Obsession guys were Dennis is still a friend, a very good friend of mine, but Dennis Lewis out of Obsession. He was saying, hey, Dodge, you know, we were just joking. He said, that moment we have the Matthew Reason was out.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. You shoot a Reason or you shoot an Obsession, the Nightmare. Sure. What's the difference? 50 feet per second.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So I want to try a little something new to wrap this video up. But before we do that, is there anything that we haven't touched on with the 300s or bigger that you feel is really important?
I think a lot of people misunderstood how good 300 is and do not really look in what is the components available. Mm-hmm. Because see, most people, when they look at Aero, they will just buy whatever the factory give you.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I also think the biggest issue for most people is that they don't know what it does.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I think a lot of people need to sit down and rethink the weight distribution of Aero, the front of center. And that, when you say weight distribution, it's not just the fuel point, it's the insert, the tubing behind it, the fudging, the knack, the size of individual pieces, and the implication of how those pieces impact your aero shaft.
And we haven't touched on this, and this just popped into my brain. Let's say you have an aero that's built. You have two aeros, one right next to the other. Everything is built exactly the same. Let's say you take an aluminum insert and a brass insert. Let's just assume that they're the exact same weights. Mm-hmm. Does the difference between aluminum and brass, just simply the way the material reacts, is that going to change the performance of the aero at all?
Absolutely, and so much so that you won't even believe it. Because let me just give an idea.
Yeah.
Using aluminum next to brass, because if, say, the same weight, the aluminum will be close to 2.5 times bigger.
Like in weight, like the amount of material that's made. That,
all
that
right, because it will be 2.5 times longer.
Right. It would be the same thing with titanium, right? Because it's lighter. Titanium
compared to stainless steel. See, that's the reason. I mean, let me give you a number, which I wrote down again. I just want to be sure that I have it correctly. Mm-hmm. Okay. As simple as material change. Magnesium is 1.73 grain per cubic centimeters. Aluminum is 2.7. So aluminum is a third, it's up 50% heavier than magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
Titanium is 4.3, which is closer to about 50% heavier compared to aluminum. And steel is 8.0. The steel is 45% heavier than your titanium, and brass is pretty much matched the steel.
Wow!
So you say if you want to go from titanium from steel to aluminium, you literally drop 75% in weight.
I got you.
So in order for match the same size, four times.
Wow. Okay. So the answer is yes. The material does matter,
and the distribution of material too.
I got you.
Just okay. like when I build with insert, I can build the outer size bigger and build the front longer because I'm dealing with 9 millimeter compared to 8 millimeter. Putting 2 millimeter in the front, 1 millimeter at the back, that changed the behavior of the insert already.
Sure.
But then do you understand what that change does to you? Which is where a lot of people having a hard time looking at my list of inserts and saying, oh my God, that's 15 inserts for the 300.
Yeah. So just to clarify, guys, Dorge offers a lot of things because he wants you to have the right piece for what you want to do with your aero. It's not meant to be confusing or overwhelming. It's overwhelming because he wants to try to have everything for someone and something for everyone. So if you go to that website and you find yourself caught in like this spiral, just give him a call, shoot him an email. It's right there. Go to the bottom, hit the contacts, fireknock.com or whatever. It's there. Okay. Just ask for the help because I promise you, it doesn't even have to be a Fireknock aero. It doesn't have to be Fireknock everything. But we promise you that if you just get things that are sized properly and distributed properly as an FOC, that you're going to see a massive difference in your aeros. And I'm going to end it with this before I ask you this question. What I understand is last year, John Dudley, because he runs his knock-on course at the TAC event every year, right? And if I'm not mistaken, I think he said last year was the worst year for aero performance that he's ever seen. Am I spot on with that?
It should have changed its status about 2023. Yeah, 2024 is about the worst. Because okay. people are using arrow that is not the correct one. Yeah. And not to mention, everybody is shooting at 85% that off.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't understand, and most people, and when they practice at 20 yards. When you go yeah. total archery challenge,
it's no longer 20 yards. Yeah.
And well, on top of that, you're not shooting flat. Some of them are uphill. Some of them are downhill.
Side hill, you know.
Right.
So,
and what does that the arrow? See, this reason I told people your arrow should be around 375 to 420 because that is where with today's compound bow at 80% that I will do. Just like I talked to Cameron so many times. Just mm-hmm. putting your lead off from 85 to 80, you will thank me. It is not a 5% difference. It's a 33% difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't explain to you why, but I can tell you firsthand from doing it, it makes a massive difference. And I, even though I'm not super, super crazy about some of these new tuning methods that are coming out, you and I have talked about it. I'm not a huge fan of moving my limb pockets. I do think Bowtech has the elite tuning method out on the market right now. And until that patent wears off, I don't know how anyone's going to catch them. Because that cam movement is just genius.
Well, remember, you're dealing with set screws, okay? I'm not crazy about set screws. I still think that the best approach to a cam tuning, mm-hmm. my personal opinion in the old days, is the yoke tune. But with a twin check binary, you're not going to get a yoke.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that approach, I think the Hoyt, like the cam and a half or the 2.5 cam, that approach is still, I consider, the very best.
Right.
Well, and anytime you touch, I mean, as an engineer, just like every engineer who do production will tell you, every fastener is an unfastener. Every adjustment is an under-adjustment.
Right.
Just remember that and go from there.
Yeah. And where I was going with that was, even though I'm not crazy about the tuning methods out there, a bow that offers a 75% let off might just be enough to get me in a new bow. Because I see the difference from 85 to 80, and I really want to experience the difference from 80 to 75.
Well, and just like PSC, the reason that PSC offers called the Western series, they all have 85% let off.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the reason people don't want to go, I'll be honest, the reason, and you know this is nothing new, the reason people don't want to go to an 80 or 75 or 65% let off is because they don't want to have to hold all that weight. Now, I will say, if you're shooting a 90 or an 85% let off right now, going to 65 is going to be a huge difference. I agree with that. But I'm telling you, if you shoot often enough, the difference from 85 to 80 or 80 to 75, After 200 shots, you're not even going to realize the difference. The difference is...
your form is going to be a whole lot better.
Yes, your form is going to be better. I feel like ever since I've dropped, and we're going to talk about this down the road, we don't have to get into it, but I do hold better on target now that I shoot in 80%. So we're gonna end it with this here. I got a question for you. I think to end each episode moving forward, it would be cool to give you just a generic... This is the draw length. This is the draw weight. This is the cam they're shooting. What bow? What arrow would you What would your recommendation be for arrow? So let's go with this. Let's start with a 65 pound draw length, 28 inch draw, 85% let off, with the comfort cams for the Bowtech. The comfort mod. I'm sorry.
You can get away with a 300 spine, 27 inch arrow. Literally, a Goldtip 22 will do exactly what you need.
A Goldtip 22
at 27 inch.
Okay, at a 27 cut 27 carbon to carbon or overall.
Right. And then what the knot you want to use is the fine knot V knot.
Mm-hmm.
That knot is 9 grain. And then go with, if you want to choose one basic, you can stick with a Goldtip 22 insert. Just remember, hydro flow it when you glue it. And then stick with the 100 grain point. On the tech, you can go down to 75 grain. Hunting stick with the 100. You'll be fine with everything.
Okay. And when you said free flow the insert, what do you mean by that?
Hydro flow the insert. In other words, the larger the diameter, unless it's perfect fit, mm-hmm. your insert wouldn't have variance between your shaft. So put glue, put the viewpoint of glue, hold the viewpoint, turn the shaft as you go using something like an APS system. What you do is you're forcing the epoxy to flow around it. When you turn the arrow shaft, you are now automatically using the hydro flow to concentrate the insert.
And you would recommend using a two-part epoxy versus
always
insert glue?
The two-part epoxy would, I mean, you would know, because when you finish, and always dry your arrow perpendicularly with the insert on top.
Insert up, standing
with
up.
The viewpoint removed.
Yes. All right, so what I would love to do, I will just keep coming up with these random combinations of draw mm-hmm. lengths and draw weights and bows, or our listeners can get involved and send us their setup. What their sure. draw length is, what their draw weight is, and all that stuff. And
then telling me what broadhead you're going to shoot and what condition you're going to shoot. Then mm-hmm. I can give you a much better of what I believe would be the best. Now, remember, it's my opinion. So don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. And guys, remember, before you get upset, George's favorite line is opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got one and they all stink.
Oh, no. And none of them smell good.
That's right. So on that note, guys, we want to thank you so much for joining us here for another episode of our Arrow series on the Wing and Tail Boys podcast. If you got some value out of this, and I really, really hope you are, because I enjoy, like I said before, I enjoy meeting with George weekly. I'm getting a lot of knowledge out of this. We're having a great time with this, as you can see. And hopefully now with this, you know, specific bow setup, that you could get even more individual value out of it. You know, so keep those comments coming in. Again, I'm going to be posting these up on YouTube. That's probably the better place to comment. You could, like I said, you could comment on George is posting this on his YouTube channel as well. Yeah, or send us emails. As always, drop on down, leave us a review, let us know how we're doing, and we'll get with you next time. And until then, remember, success is just a commitment away. Have a great week, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.